Hello everyone, I'm Lizzie.
I'm Bailey.
And welcome to No More Podcasts.
Where we talk about chaos with two dogs who are actually quiet for once.
I know. You say that and they both look at each other, nod in agreements, and then just cause chaotic havoc, as they always do. But anyways, so speaking of chaos, you know what's really chaotic, Bailey?
The
The
dogs.
Victor, well, not just the dogs. This is the past life of the dogs.
It's Victorian dogs.
Exactly, the Victorians. Now, the Victorians, they did some weird things, and I could go into it, but that'd be a whole episode in itself. So I'm just gonna limit it to just one thing. And we've had exploding corsets and exploding billiard balls, you know, all that fun stuff. Well, just to give you a hint, well, we're definitely gonna be talking about good old celluloid. Now, celluloid was all the rage in the late 19th century, and it was planned to be an eternal substitute, an inexpensive imitation of ivory, tortoiseshell, and even linen. And women would have celluloid jewelry and combs, just to give you that idea. Now, the first industrial plastic ever created was celluloid. They are a material that is produced by mixing nitrocellulose and camphor, but of course, other materials such as dyes and what not can be added, hand mirrors, combs, hairbrushes, nail buffers, and other grooming items were manufactured in classic ivory colors or later in gleaming pearly hues adorned by rhinestones. Now, men and women alike wore detachable collars, cuffs, and shirt fronts stiffened by pretty much celluloid. People from all walks of life used toothbrushes with celluloid handles, children played with celluloid dolls and toys, gamblers even threw celluloid dice and dealt celluloid cards. This shit was just everywhere, as you can tell. And it was just a rage. But because of the popularity and ability to put it basically anywhere, manufacturers struggled to come up with ideas after a while. It had flaws, however. It was flammable, but it was cheap, and cheap outweighed the fire. The material would only find its true purpose when it literally became the medium for another great modern invention, motion picture.
Ooh. What
That's,
was that, your impersonation of one of those cameras?
yeah, the whirl of a projector going.
That was pretty good.
Yeah. I'm good at impressions. But anyways, now cellulose, a compound of a chain of sugar molecules, is the begin is the building block of cell walls of green plants. Thanks to cellulose, the most prevalent organic compound on Earth, wood is strong, paper is flexible, and cotton, which is 90% cellulose, can become fabric. While testing acids on organic materials in 1846, Swiss chemist Professor Christian Friedrich Schönbein found that a mixture of sulfuric and nitric acids drastically affected the cellulose in cotton. The white, fluffy fibers still looked the same, but they burned swiftly and fiercely. And well, when hard sheet plus it would just change hardness and flexibility depending on the solvent used on the thing. Now, you can kind of see where the ideas might start forming. Now, collodion, or pretty much was first used in the 1940s as a liquid bandage, kind of like a new skin, if you will. But it would later become important for photography. There was an issue that, stopped it from moving into what will be talking about today. It wasn't a solid material yet. You see, camphor was the solution. Familiar as a medicine and a moth repellent, it's a crystalline compound usually derived from the wood and bark of the camphor laurel, a tree native to Asia. When combined with a partly nitrated cellulose and other ingredients, camphor both dissolves the fibery tissues, excuse me, and makes it moldable. It makes it into plastic. And for a little bit, there were some inventions that were using the new stuff to make things, but they would still fall into obscurity. It wouldn't be till later did something stick. You see, In 1863, printer John Wesley Hyatt from upstate New York noticed an intriguing advertisement. A New York City firm offered the then immense sum of $10,000 for an ivory substitute, which back then, compared to today's prices, that's a lot of money, isn't it?
Yeah,
Quite
it's
a
a good
bit,
amount.
yeah. But you see, the firm's problem was that billiards, formerly an upper-class amusement, was turning into a mass-market entertainment. The hard, uniform ivory of the highest quality to make balls came from the African ivory
Starting to
trade.
make balls.
Yeah, they did.
The
It's
celluloid is stored in the balls.
in the balls, man. It's in the balls. But no, you see, the African ivory trade, which unfortunately slaughtered a lot of elephants and forced enslaved men to carry the tusk on foot for hundreds of miles. American firms were more worried about potential shortages and the high manufacturing costs of turning raw ivory into billiard balls than the lives of the animals and the injustice of men. Really sounds right for America, to be honest.
Honestly, even to this day.
Yeah, man. They'll do anything but to make things easier just to make a quick buck. I hate these guys. Anyways, now it would be Hyatt that would actually come to America's rescue with a new and improved plastic, celluloid. See, it all comes full circle.
Here we go.
Yeah, now
Full balls, if you will.
balls, if you will. Yeah, it all comes round with the balls. But you see, now Hyatt and his brother immediately put his invention to use. First, they set up a company to make celluloid dental plates for false teeth as an alternative to rubber, which makes sense. I wouldn't want rubber in my teeth.
No.
That just sounds terrible. Then they established this celluloid manufacturing company in 1872. Here, the brothers devised machinery for mixing the ingredients and new ways to manipulating the material. Blow molding, a process for making hollow items from celluloid tubes, was an important development. They made it as it was leading to the mass production of millions of inexpensive toys and ornaments. But
It's kind of like those things you see at those old, like, I was
yeah,
thinking Gatorland. You see them at
I was
Gatorland.
thinking of the little blow molds that you
Yeah.
get for like Christmas time and stuff and
Yeah.
Halloween.
And you get, like, dinosaur shapes and
Yeah.
stuff.
All those fun things. Oh yeah, you're talking about like the wax mold ones.
Yeah.
I like that. Yeah. I just had a flashback memory. Thank you. I appreciate that. Now, as I was saying, you see, since it was clear and colorless, if left undyed, celluloid could make pretty much take on any tone they wanted, even mixed or speckled shades. Clever artisans fashioned celluloid into artificial ivory or coral, semi-precious stones, and tortoiseshell, which was especially in demand for hair combs and eyeglass frames. You know, save the turtles. I had to do it. I had to do it. Now, early advertisements often promoted the material's versatility and shape-shifting quality because they. Oh. Sorry about that, guys. We heard a loud bang and I wasn't sure. But, anyways, back to what I was saying. Because many people equated celluloid with the fiery material it was made out of, stories of exploding combs and buttons flourished. Celluloid, though, was more dangerous to its makers than its consumers, with factory fires a common hazard, which you'd think that'd be a big sign, you know?
Yeah.
Like, our factories keeps going on fire. Oh, little Jimmy's playing with a celluloid ball. It should be fine. Well, here's the funny thing about it. See, celluloid's key attributes was that it was naturally transparent, flexible, and waterproof, which led to a genuine use. In the late 19th century, as I always struggle with this one, guys. Industrialization, there we go,
Ooh.
accelerated. That's a big word for Elmo.
Big word for Lizzie.
Yeah, accelerated and cities expanded. More Americans began working in offices and stores. This growing class of male and female workers were often required to dress neatly and formally, which makes sense. But often on modest salaries and while living in dirty, coal-fueled cities, Your clothes would get covered in soot just by walking down the street. Some people came up with detachable collars and cuffs made of linen or cotton that allowed shirts and blouses to be reworn while still looking fresh. But the detachable items, well, that's a whole different story. They need to be washed, starched, and ironed regularly. Just like the garments, garments themselves. Here's the problem. Paper collars and cuffs, though cheap, were just not strong enough or dirt resistant enough to be ideal substitutes. Even when varnished, but you know what was? Sheet celluloid.
That was you.
Yeah. Ashton, she agreed. Or not Ashton. You're not Ashton. You're Ash. Good gourd.
Gourd. Gourd.
I don't know why I'm just slowly just oh God, Lord, what's happening?
Oh my God. Continue.
Anyways, my cube.
Sorry, we're stealing stuff from each other.
I know, we're just stealing things. First, I'm stealing her dog. Now she's stealing my dice cube thing. But no, anyways. Just not dirt resistant enough to be ideal substitutes, and even when varnished. But you know what was? Sheet celluloid, introduced in the mid-1870s, and was created by none less but Hyatt himself. I know, crazy.
The hotel guy.
Hotel, motel.
Celluloid.
Anyways, what he wanted to do was actually sandwich linen or paper between the thin sheets of transparent celluloid. Then invented machines for cutting, heating, and bending this hybrid material into the form of collars, cuffs, and shirt fronts. Cool idea.
Yeah.
Almost like laminating before laminating was a thing. That's really cool. Laminating.
He said laminating the second time.
You know, you put a little lemon in there.
Lemon zesting.
That's what makes it very flammable, is the lemons.
The lemons, yeah.
Lemon, citrus is flammable. But anyways, the results, long-lasting items, never needed washing. They could just be rinsed clean, which, hey, we love a good quick rinse, you know. But Hyatt himself applied for and received 11 patents for improvements to his invention, including methods of finishing the items for a more natural appearance. Basically, you had one of those old Polly Pocket plastic shirts that never had to be washed. You can just imagine how happy and successful this was.
Honestly, I would love a giant Polly Pocket shirt.
Me too.
Just to chew on.
Me too. I always have, because what I have in my hand right now, guys, is this Neato cube. And you would say it's about that texture too.
Yeah, it has the material it's made of, but not the squishiness.
Yeah. And it's just like, every once in a while, I'll catch myself trying to go, and I'm like, no. Because I'm afraid it'll pop.
When she says, try to go, she means like, bite on it.
Yeah, bite on it. Just, nom, nom, nom. But, despite the hype of this Neato, no, I'm just kidding, it never replaced true linens, which, thank God.
Yeah.
And then, shirt styles changed in the 1930s. Perfect, easy-wear shirts remained more of a hope than a reality. Shirt fronts could pop or crack, stiff collar edges chafed cheeks and chins, and buttons rattled in the
cheeks, chins.
I was trying to say buttonholes, but my brain
buttonholes.
My brain said buttholes, and I was like, wait, no, that's not right, brain. No, buttonholes. So basically, they had chafed cheeks and chins, and the buttons would rattle in buttonholes of collars and cuffs. Doesn't sound too comfy, in my honesty.
No.
Just, nah.
Maybe I take back that Polly Pocket shirt.
Yeah, I'll take it back. But
I'll still chew on it, though.
I'll still chew on it, too. Uncle, nom, 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 nom. As I mentioned earlier, that celluloid is highly flammable, and it tends to explode near heat. Which, I mean, could you imagine, especially at the peak of, like, them really trying to make, like, vampire stories?
Mm-hmm.
And it's like,
maybe that's why they say vampires burst into flames.
Exactly. They're like, oh my God, Daryl down the streets.
Dear.
Don't ask. I just that's the first
That's the
name that
first.
came to mind. Anyways,
Is your energy drink you're having?
I know I'm having a Baja Blast.
Not really.
Not really. It's Kool-Aid. I'm having the oh yeah kind of moment. But no, just fuck. Daryl's down the street and he just randomly erupts into flames. And you just hear some lady in the background going, "I knew he was a vampire. I knew."
I saw him dancing in the woods with Goody Proctor.
Yeah, God, that's a deep cut.
Dear,
Anyways,
if you know, you know.
if you know, you know, especially if you were in middle school or high school at one point.
Yeah.
But anyways, I mentioned earlier that celluloid is highly flammable and tends to explode near heat, which I just mentioned. There are no official statistics we can turn to, but historical records document hundreds of people who died due to combusting celluloid cones, which proximity to someone's face and head was particularly dangerous. Some scientists believe celluloid to be 5 times more flammable than plywood, which,
Plywood's
holy
already pretty
crap.
flammable.
Yeah, especially dry plywood. Could you imagine?
Dry wood, if you will.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, damn.
Gosh. Now, due to its chemical composition, not only was it very flammable, but over time it degraded due to light or chemicals. And well, when it breaks down, it releases flammable gases. They also like to spontaneously combust. Imagine just playing billiards or pool and you hit the cue ball only for it to explode.
If it still goes in the pockets, you win.
Yeah, I guess so. I mean, talk about having a lit game of pool, but that's just taking it too far.
Shut up!
Get
Get out of town!
out of here. Now, of course, it happened in a saloon in Colorado one time, resulting in all the men in the bar to pull out their pistols because they thought there was a shootout. But could you
Maybe that's what we
imagine?
heard.
Oh my God, because that bang earlier, guys, that I had to pause the episode. Maybe next door was playing celluloid pool. I hope their house is still standing.
They're just standing there with their hair sticking straight up,
I know.
ashes on their. It's like, did it go in?
Is it in?
Oh.
Oh no. But anyways, because the material was so versatile, it would replace bone and ivory in clothing like the corsets, but also laces and bracelets. Imagine being a woman in a corset and you pass too near a gas lamp or open fire. There was just a woman one time who failed to notice a cigar that rolled under her celluloid dress. She ran outside to get out from the smoke, but the new wave of oxygen, the sleep,
We never would have guessed.
never guessed. The papers messed up.
Never would have guessed the papers stuck to each other.
No.
Of the order.
Yeah, hold on a second, guys. Bear with me. It goes straight into talking about a Scottish surgeon. Oh no.
That new wave of oxygen caused the thing to explode.
Yeah, we'll just go with that.
Yeah.
She died in the process. That's all I can imagine.
She got, if she didn't die, she got severely injured.
She got roasted like a marshmallow. She was.
She got Polly Pocketed.
Oh no. Well, anyways, we're going to talk about that Scottish surgeon now since it came up so eagerly. See, in 1902, a Scottish surgeon wrote of a woman who kneeled in front of a fire and suffered severe burns as the imitation tortoiseshell comb ignited in her hair. Oh my God. And the crazy thing about it is that your hair is super flammable too. So, oh no. The same
Oh no,
paper.
baby.
Oh no. The same paper mentions the recent case of a young girl in London whose combs caught in fire in a similar manner and died the next day from her injuries. Others lost their eyesight or experienced long-term lasting complications from burns. However, rather than calling for the ban on the production of celluloid, which also caused multiple factory fires once again, common guidance at the time simply urged wearers to keep away from flames and other heat sources, which makes me think, you know how whenever you buy a Halloween costume, especially a mask, and they always say keep away from open flames and heat?
Yeah.
Do you think costumes are just made out of celluloid nowadays?
I don't like Legally.
Yeah.
But something similar.
Yeah.
Or it could just be, you know,
Maybe
a little
celluloid's
fidget brain.
hotter cousin.
Shut up.
Sorry.
Continue reading.
The pun took a second. I'm
No,
sorry.
it did. I just couldn't think of another pun.
Fair enough. You're just like, how dare you?
Yeah.
Anyways. Of course, by the late 19th century, celluloid seemed destined to remain a second-class material. The stuff is inexpensive. Collars, hair combs, billiard balls, and baby rattles for the masses. Which, whew, I could not imagine anything. I hope nothing happened with the baby rattles, because I would be mortified. Now, previously, people had appreciated celluloid as a substitute, a plausible counterfeit of natural materials. But now, celluloid's principal qualities, cheapness, flexibility, and transparency, would transform it from a material into a medium. Because, hey, us artists always got to be some sort of geniuses when it comes to new
Yeah, you
material.
always gotta make something out of something.
Exactly. But soon, the word celluloid would come to define not just the film stock spooling through thousands of cameras and projectors, but the entire phenomenon of cinema itself. While developing the Kodak, George Eastman hired young chemist Henry Reichenbach to come up with a film that would be strong, flexible, and wholly transparent. It was already possible to create relatively thin layers of celluloid, as for collars and cuffs, but a photographic film would require an extremely thin, wholly uniform layer. Reichenbach used a well-known solvent to dilute celluloid for this purpose, and as he soon determined the exact proportions of chemicals and the machinery needed to produce the film in bulk, he and Eastman filed patents. For the sorry, patents for their invention in 1889. And they incorporated the film into the Kodak system. Early cinema experimenters, excuse me, had first tried to use strips cut from celluloid blocks, but Reichenbach and Eastman's film was obviously superior. When combined with money, talent, imagination, and ceaseless improvements to cameras and projectors, nitrate film created a new industry and transformed popular entertainment. And hey, cinema's always the most fun entertainment. Such classic movies as Fritz Lang's Metropolis in 1927, Charlie Chaplin's Modern Times 1936, and Orson Welles' Citizen Kane, 1941, were all shot on celluloid or nitrate film, and the cells of animation, the transparent hand-painted sheets that brought Mickey Mouse and Bugs Bunny to life, when filmed in sequence, were also made of nitrocellulose, our beautiful celluloid. The material's extreme flammability seemed a small price to pay for such high rewards. Since movie projectors, powerful electric lamps tend to overheat, the fast-moving film projection booths had to be lined with asbestos and equipped with safety shutters to prevent fires from consuming entire theaters. Now, early safety films, quote-unquote, made of cellulose acetate compounds, which that just sounds safe, had higher burning points but were more expensive and less durable than nitrate film. But in 1950, just 2 years after Kodak introduced a greatly improved safety film made of cellulose triacetate, the
Ooh,
company
good
stopped.
job.
I know I'm doing so great, guys. I'm so brave. The company stopped making nitrocellulose film. The cinematic reign of celluloid, more than 50 years long, was finally over. Unfortunately, because of nitrate film's instability, many early movies, particularly silent films from the dawn of cinema, have been lost forever, decomposed in their cans or burned in studio fires.
Boo.
I know, such sad endings. But where in celluloid today?
Where is
Minus.
celluloid
No, it
today?
says, but where is celluloid today? Minus the flammable part, it seems to be a pretty good and right. It seemed to be pretty good, right? There we go. So,
Seems to be pretty good, right?
all right. Sorry. It was pretty good. Surprisingly, though, this is amazing plastic is just seen in just one arena. If you've ever bounced a ping pong ball and smacked it across a table with a wooden paddle, you can appreciate celluloid's lightest and toughest.
I love celluloid.
Yeah, it's such a great
It's just a
time.
fun thing to talk about, because
Yeah,
who would have thought?
I know.
Oh
That's
man, the good
okay.
old days.
The good old days we didn't get to live through. But hey, I also think it's funny. I had a professor who was talking about film projectors and stuff like that. And she was like mentioning, oh yeah, the films back then were very flammable and stuff like that. And I literally immediately walked up to her. I go, I know what it was made out of. She goes, huh? I go, celluloid, baby. And she was so confused and told me to sit down.
Why
And
did you stand up and go to her?
I was
Because you're
like,
weird.
I'm such a weird individual. I am that weird kid in the back of the class, guys, as you can tell by my chaoticness. Actually, I don't even think I really walked up to her. I kind of just stood up, took a couple steps forward, and went, celluloid, baby. And she went, sit down. I'm like, all right.
Cool, I can do that.
I don't know. I had that moment of this is my time to shine. This is something I actually know about. But guys, I do hope you enjoyed that chaos that was, of course, celluloid in all its time of glory and flammability. But hey, if you enjoyed this podcast, make sure you follow us on Facebook, Instagram. Make sure you subscribe to us on Spotify and all that other stuff
All the
that.
other cool places you can listen to us
Exactly,
at.
all the other places that you can listen to us at. And hey, if you guys enjoyed us, make sure you maybe leave a comment, maybe email us if our email's out in the world. I don't know.
You
And if
can
you have,
message us
you
on
can message
Facebook,
us,
Instagram.
give us critiques. Say, hey, calm down. Why are you being weird like that?
Lizzie, no more energy drinks.
Listen. Don't take that
That's all she has. That's her
That's all.
Baja right now. She's out of Baja
I
Blast.
know, I'm out of Baja Blast,
You could have
guys.
gotten one of mine.
I know, but I also, this thing's been sitting in your
It has
fridge for a
been.
while, and I didn't want it to take up more space than it has
Oh,
to.
good.
But I actually also hope you guys enjoyed this episode, and make sure you tip your tour guides, because hey.
If not, you'll be playing ping pong one day and you smack the ball a little too hard and it explodes.
Yeah. Or hey, you might have bought an antique corset one day, not knowing the true horrors that's within.
I just thought of something
And then you
funny.
get assumed from outside sources that you might be a vampire.
Celluloid is stored in the vaults.
But
Write that shit down. I'll write that shit down.
thank
All right.
you for listening.
Yep.
Bye.
Bye.